You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 16 January. U.S. markets closed today for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. My name is Simon Brown and listening to you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Alex Dace, possible investment opportunities from this load shedding that is just grinding everyone down. Sinisha Pakasami, economist at Momentum, looking at local equity and listed property opportunities. And then we'll be touching on trends in hospitality industry locally. Certainly a good year, a good season, perhaps, which counters. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Safety still a concern for Tiger Brands going into 2023. Group says it is determined to restore market and consumer trust by strengthening its control systems. Business Day, Ramaphosa cancels Davos trip as SA battles in darkness. Not sure what he's going to do, but I suppose it is symbolic. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.4%, NASDAQ up 0.7%. Asia is mixed, we got Sydney up 0.8% and Tokyo down 1%. Commodities mostly green with a bit of flat, we've got gold, 1,928, Brent, 84.78, platinum, 1,079, palladium, 1,800, rand, 1,676, bitcoin, 21,100, Tencent trading up 0.9% in the Hong Kong lunch break, and top 40 looking for a green open, 400 points to the upside. That's just over 0.5%.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Alex Dace from Thimble Wealth. Alex, appreciate the early morning time. I spent my weekend without power because we had more than just load shedding. We had an outage. But trying to find JSE-listed stocks that could potentially benefit from load shedding. Yeah, ARB would have been great, but of course they've been delisted. I look at Rainet, which has got the cable business, but challenges there because we need government to actually sort of step up to the plate. Is there anything that you look at and think, this could perhaps be a benefit?
Good morning, Simon. Look, certainly, I mean, the load shedding moment has a detrimental impact on economic growth, as well as consumer confidence, and perhaps also, lastly, investment in the economy. So, you know, it certainly is a crisis, but when there are the crises, there seems to be opportunities. So let's start off with Rainet. So, yes, there's lots of red tape at the moment which is preventing all the renewable energy projects coming to fruition. As soon as that is out of the way, you can imagine that Rainet will be excellently positioned for that potential growth. They've got, of course, two big major businesses there in Terra Firms, which actually build solar plants. And then you've got also BlueNova, which supplies the battery or storage components of that. They've entered these businesses since 2017, 2019, and so forth. So it's been relatively new in them, but they're scaling it up. They've already got quite a sizable market share in a commercial and industrial space. I think they are well positioned if the regulatory environment allows them to grow. Another one I think is interesting that's perhaps not on investors' radars is, of course, Mustek. So Mustek is an important distributor of predominantly ICT products, but they also supply lots of solars, panels and inverters and batteries and so forth to all the resellers and installers out there in the market. So if you believe that solar, specifically for residential, is going to continue to grow, then someone like a Mustek will probably also benefit from that. And then perhaps another option to consider is not a direct option, but I think something like a Famous Brands. With most families unable to cook evenings at 6 o'clock and so forth, you would imagine there will be a small increase in demand for takeaways or other types of fast food or dining out. And something like a Famous Brands probably will be a beneficiary of that, but not as direct as but a Rainet or a Mustek would be, in my view.
I take your point on that. And Famous Brands, and it was one I was digging around a bit of. And almost in a sense, I mean, you've almost done it in terms of how long this is going to play out. The Rainet, as you say, is going to take time to play through. Mustek, they're probably getting orders already. And of course, Famous Brands, I mean, you know, someone couldn't make dinner last night and went out and had to buy pizzas or whatever it was from one of their stores. They're going to play at different speeds, very much so, I suppose, what I'm saying.
Yes, without a doubt. So investors, I think, can envision themselves. I think this is obviously going to be a theme type of investment theme in South Africa over the, let's call it medium to long term, because the issues we've got at Eskom at the moment, even if we do the right things today, it can take many, many years to solve. So some of these companies will still be well positioned for that. But also a problem with Eskom, of course, is the companies that can afford, or residentials that can afford to move off from Eskom will do that. And that leaves Eskom with customers that are probably unlikely or can't really pay. So that tells you that sustainability over medium to long term can be better of an issue. So I think these themes will play out quite nicely over time if allowed by government to do so.
Yeah, and 100% on your point. Everyone who can gets off the grid, and then only people who are left in the grid are those who can't or won't actually pay, and it leaves them in a bind. Alex Dace, that was excellent. Really appreciate Alex Dace from Portfolio Manager in Thimble Wealth. Appreciate the early morning time.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanlib Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Sinisha Pakrasamy, economist at Momentum Investments. Sinisha, appreciate the early morning time. I want to touch off with some global before we move local. We saw a good U.S. inflation number for December, 6.5% in consensus, but certainly showing the deceleration. Rates probably still rising. Economic slowdown. I mean, it seems almost inevitable. Your take on a potential magnitude of that slowdown, particularly focusing on the U.S.?
Thanks so much, Simon. So if we look at the U.S. inflation print, it did come out in line with market expectations, but it has also confirmed a deceleration from an earlier peak in U.S. inflation. So this does give the market some comfort in potentially suggesting that the peak in the U.S. interest rate hiking cycle may in fact be on the horizon. We also believe that central banks globally will also start to discount the potential for a much weaker growth outlook, and also bear that when they do monetary policy decision making. With regards to the potential for a recession globally, we do see the risk as being much higher for areas like the Eurozone and the United Kingdom, which are facing pressing energy issues. However, in the U.S. economy, there are a couple of factors that suggest that if we do get a significant slowdown there, we might actually get almost a slightly negative number rather than a very deep, protracted recession. And so some of the things that tell us this is, for example, the U.S. consumer. We have U.S. consumer savings, which are still quite high relative to disposable income. U.S. Net household wealth conditions relative to disposable income are quite close to record highs. If we look at the housing market, yes, things are looking a bit softer, but nowhere near to the extent that what we experienced during the global financial crisis. And then once again, financial stability also appears to be a bit more robust than what we experienced in 2008 in terms of banks' capital positions looking a lot healthier. I think those fundamentals will prevent the U.S. economy from slipping into a very deep or protracted recession.
And the one standout that staying with the U.S. is that unemployment number. I mean, it remains to me as a novice here, it remains staggeringly strong.
It remains extremely strong, and what we would actually need to see in order for wage inflation to start dropping is for those payrolls numbers to start coming off quite significantly, and in some cases may even have to turn negative for us to then experience some pressure being lifted off on the wage front.
Bringing it local, our local equities had a decent 2022, particularly compared to what we saw in developed markets. I'm thinking S&P, I'm thinking Europe to a degree, UK to a degree. Can we repeat that in 2023? I mean, are we positioned equity market for a good year?
Quite possibly so. So we do actually see South African equities as having quite an attraction attractive valuation underpin at this point in time relative to its own historical history, but also within the global universe. So if we look at the forward price to earnings ratio, we believe it looks quite attractive, even if we pencil in potential earnings of around 6%. Mm-hmm. We also believe that in the event of a more extreme drawdown on global equities, we can actually have South African equities outperforming, and outperforming even more so when we get that subsequent recovery once the global risk appetite starts to pick up again post that initial dip. We also have some structural benefits built in for the South African equity market. If we look across the global emerging market composite, what we call the GEM funds, mm-hmm. We'd see that South Africa is the fifth most under-owned market. So again, there's also a structural underpin for South African equities. You know, looking at those valuations, it does appear as if South African equities is already discounting some bad news already.
Listed property had a horrid pandemic. In fact, I mean, the index peaked a year or two or three years ahead of the pandemic. Any potential there for investors? I mean, the office story still remains, I think, fairly nightmarish and negative reversions on rentals.
100%. So I think, you know, when we're looking at the operational metrics within the listed property composite, we have seen an overall improvement, but overall these numbers are still looking worse than where we were prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. We are starting to see some operational improvement in spaces outside of the office sector. So for example, vacancy rates, rental growth and rental reversions are generally showing some sort of improvement outside of the office space. But again, still worse than what we've experienced prior to the pandemic. If we look at some of the, you know, valuations of property values, we've seen that they have actually started to stabilize again outside of the office sector. But broadly speaking, we would say that even though we see potential for return upside in listed property from these relatively undervalued levels, you have to also take it into account against these negative fundamental factors which remain at play.
Yeah, opportunity, but risk still there. We'll leave it there. Shanisa Pakasami, economist at Momentum Investments, appreciate the early time. And that's our poll today on our LinkedIn and Twitter. A lot of folks I'm chatting to are bullish on the local market. And maybe we should say cautiously bullish on the local market. What's your view? What are you looking for the JSE for this year? What's your take? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter.
If seagulls were hardy-dars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Zizile Lapalala, sector head, healthcare, construction and hospitality at Absa Corporate and Investment Banking. Zizile, appreciate the early morning time. Hospitality sector, fair to say that it really has moved out of survival mode of the pandemic and truthfully is back into a very strong recovery.
Absolutely, Simon. Good morning. Thanks for having me this morning. So it's been a very positive 2022 in the hospitality sector. What we've observed really, as we've mentioned, is that the sector is no longer in survival mode, which they experienced during the last 2 years of COVID. But they are, in fact, now in a stronger than anticipated recovery. So what we've noted really is the performance turning from losses into profit and the operators mainly being able to service their long-term debt obligations that they were not able to do during the COVID, the height of COVID.
Yeah, and in many cases, coming out almost, I mean, I want to say stronger. I mean, the leisure activity back, getting back to pre-pandemic. Example, Sun International paying its first dividend in 6 years. I mean, it hadn't paid a dividend long before the pandemic. And coming out, I want to say, almost guns blazing as a better looking and stronger positioned business.
Absolutely, Simon. So what the pandemic really offered the operators in the sector is an opportunity to really look at their cost structures and also focus on reducing their debts, thereby strengthening their balance sheet. So what we're seeing with Sun International is exactly that. They're able to dispose of non-core assets and use that those proceeds to reduce their cash, and also relook at their cost structuring to be able to operate in a more efficient way, and thereby being able to now pay their first dividend in 6 years. Yeah.
Hotels themselves, they're lagging a bit. There are a couple of hotel operators on the JSE. You make the point that they're at about 70% of pre-COVID levels, but should recover. I mean, I remember from the City Lodge update late last year, sort of their November month was probably back at pre-pandemic.
So what we're seeing with hotels, especially the players that are pure hotels and do not have any diversification in their revenue streams, is that the recovery is lagging those that have diversified streams into the likes of gaming, such as Sun International. Mm-hmm. So what we're expecting is the recovery to come either this year, 2023, or 2024. And that's because they are impacted by international travel inbound into South Africa. And we're expecting to see the full international travelers back into SA by 2024. And so, as you mentioned, City Lodge, they've also disposed of non-core, the East African assets. And they are doing much stronger, I think, focusing on the leisure offering as well as the food and beverage that they previously did not really, was not really their strength. And so what we're seeing is that albeit it's lagging, it is strong. And I expect that they had a stronger December in terms of the hotel operators, given that this is the first December that was not overshadowed by COVID variants or restrictions on international travel.
You're mentioning international, and you know, we do get a quote of international. What about African Continental Free Trade Area? Is that something that could potentially give our tourism sector, our leisure sector, and I'm thinking, you know, it might be business people coming into South Africa and staying in our hotels. Is that potentially going to benefit us as it rolls through?
Yes, we believe that it will benefit us. As we know today, intra-African travel makes up the largest component of inbound travel into South Africa. And this is mainly from the low-income countries such as Lesotho, Zimbabwe, and Mozambique. And of course, we can't compare in terms of what they bring into the country to the likes of US and Europe, which are secondary in terms of inbound. And so with the African Continental Free Trade Area, whose main mandate really is to eliminate trade barriers and boost intra-Africa trade, we're expecting to see higher foreign direct investment into the continent, according to the World Bank. And this will ultimately lead to increased economic activity in Africa and increase household income that potentially could be spent on the hospitality sector. And this is both from a leisure perspective, and I think you mentioned quite correctly, as well as from a business leisure as well.
A quick last question. Digital nomads, which is something which predates the pandemic, but obviously is now, you know, post the pandemic and the work from home gaining traction. Is that something that we are catering for as a country? And I'm thinking, frankly, it could be international and foreign, but also maybe even local travelers. You maybe want to go and spend a summer in the Cape a winter in Durban rather than a cold Joburg.
Yes, yes. And said it does predate the pandemic, but the pandemic actually heightened this trend. So what we've seen with employers adopting the hybrid working model is that there's been a lot more of digital nomads, which has strongly supported the domestic tourism sector in South Africa, especially during the restrictions from that we had from international travelers. So what we're seeing is that trend, we believe, is going to continue, and the operators have adapted and ensured that they have dedicated workspaces on their properties to ensure that they take advantage of this trend. And other things that they have done is ensure that there's stronger connections such as Wi-Fi to ensure that the digital nomad is able to work away from the office.
We'll leave it there.
Without any disruptions. Yeah.
Thanks very much. We'll leave it there. Zizilela Polala from ABSA CIB. Appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. We were chatting with Fima Dia from Momentum Securities on Friday about food retailers, food inflation expected to drop. ShopRite, a great start to the year. We asked what your preferred retailer was. Over half of you said ShopRite. The rest was split. Pick and Pay, Spar, some of you didn't like at all. And a lot of votes also, folks saying, hey, also, what about some Woolies? Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Companies that build other companies.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.